I'd like to echo, you know, Steve's comments and thanking the Mary Black Foundation for the ongoing funding, as well as the Prevention Research Center and some of my students who do a lot of the walking and get a lot of activity. So now we're going to look at some contextual elements impacting trail use. So often, you know, surveys are great, but they're giving us a lot of perception information, not necessarily giving us what is happening right then in point in time, and looking at how the weather, for example, impacts activity, intensity, how that is related to weather and temperature and a variety of other things. So we're going to look at some contextual elements impacting trail use. This is something that we had before, just a little bit of a reminder about Mary Black Foundation and their active living priority, which, you know, $5 million is a substantial amount of money. And a little bit about this trail that Steve already talked about, how it dissects two adjacent residential neighborhoods, differing in income, education, and race profiles. We've had this slide already, but it's just important that you really see where it is. And also, if you look at those parks, during the evaluation, we also assess the parks within a one-mile radius of the trail. And we do that for a variety of reasons. One, we're interested in, okay, are people maybe using these parks more frequently since the trail has been open? Or perhaps are people coming from the parks to the trail? SOPARK is just an amazing instrument, and it was developed for parks and trails, and it was really important for us because we know proximity could be a variable impacting trail use to examine the parks. And we're just talking about the trails today, so we have a lot of data on the parks as well. You've seen this picture, but I just wanted to put it up there again, what it looked like before and what it looks like now. And it's just an amazing facility, and can't thank Mary Black Foundation enough and the city of Spartanburg for developing it. So what was the background? What was the purpose? And for my talk, I'm going to be focusing on seasonality, temperature, and physical activity intensity, and how those things are related to one another. We don't have enough information on the impact of seasonality on physical activity. I think that's something Dr. Salas has been talking about for years in his papers, and we need more seasonality information. And one thing about Dr. McKenzie, who developed this instrument, he has a variety of instruments, SOFIT, SOPLAY, and talks a lot about how the context, we don't have a lot of information about open environments and how those open environments impact physical activity. So we're really looking at the link between the context and activity patterns of trail users. The SOPARK instrument has been validated and has been published in the Journal of Physical Activity and Health. I had some questions on a previous talk that I think I want to elaborate right now to kind of give you an idea of how do I train these students. One, to be able to determine between an adult and a child. And that's relatively easy. However, a teenager versus an adult, or an adult and someone who's elderly. My students and myself, but my students who do the observations have to go through a photo database in which they learn to identify different races, genders, and age groups. And then I test them again a week later. And then I test them again a month later. And then again 6 months later. Because it's really important that we make sure that who we are observing and who we are accounting for is accurate. In terms of ethnicity, we try to keep it as simple and for our tabulating purposes as white and non-white. And as Dr. Hooker mentioned, the majority of non-whites in South Carolina are African American. However, there are others, such as Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, and what have you. Therefore, we keep it as other, though the majority are African American. So they're not just go out there and, you know, hey, this looks like a kid. Before they can go out and do research with me, they have to pass the test. And when it's passing, I look at the correlations, and they have to be 0.95 and above. And the database of pictures is over 70. And if they don't pass that, well, I say thank you. But we're going to go a different direction, try to find students who can pass, just because it's very important to make sure that what they're observing is accurate. So, SOPARK protocol. Yes, it's an unobtrusive manner. Observations made, trained college students. Some of them do walk over 20 miles a day, but they're all health and exercise science majors. So most of them like physical activity, I would at least hope. Quarterly observations, 7:30, 12:30, 3:30, 6:00. We do it at the different access points. So we do have data to show certain trail segments are being used more frequently than others. One thing we have found at the tail end of the trail where it's a little more industrial, and we have some survey data to validate our findings, we don't see as many users. Well, we know perceptions of safety play a major role in areas that perhaps don't have, are not well lit. In this case, none of the areas have lighting, but areas where you think you don't feel as safe. It could be perfectly safe, but what do we know? It's perception data. If they don't think they're safe, they're not likely to use it. We also do air temperature. Each student has a thermometer, and in terms of weather conditions, we use the local weather report that day for the city. So, what do we observe? Close to 2,500 approximately users, an average 60 a day, majority of them walking. You look at more males than females. And more males were observed in very active activity, high-intensity activity, whereas more females were observed walking, which is consistent with a lot of the published data that is out there on physical activity surveillance. So if you look at gender characteristics of users, we did find a seasonality gender interaction effect. You see spring of 06, you know, summer of 06, a lot of users. You're looking at right here, we're looking at males versus females. Summer 07, and Steve mentioned, very hot. There were days when it was over 100 degrees, 10 straight days. That's important information for us to know. I've been working with Greenville and the city of Greenville and Parks and Rec. We've done something similar in Greenville on one of their trails. Here's where we need some environmental interventions. Maybe more park benches. Maybe more water fountains. Maybe more trees for shade. Because what we know is the vigorous person who does vigorous activity, they're going to do it pretty much regardless. And those aren't the individuals we're really trying to get at. We're trying to get those who are inactive and sedentary. And if it becomes very hot, well, that's a barrier. And we need to be able to find ways for them to be comfortable out on a trail. So we'll talk a little bit more about this. So you see here females just engaging in quite more walking than males pretty much throughout the six observations that we've had so far. And that was a significant in terms of physical activity differences. And then you get to vigorous activity and you see, wow, the males are just much more active in vigorous type physical activity. Which is, you know, consistent with data that is already published. So that was interesting in the sense that what we're finding has some commonality with things that other researchers across the country are finding out, primarily, though, with surveillance activity reports, not necessarily direct observation. Well, then you look at temperature. And you see here we had a temperature. As temperature changes significantly, that impacted trail use as well. Between 61, 70 degrees, 71, 80 degrees, 81, and 90 degrees, you see the majority of our users, 71 to 80 degrees primarily. And once again, you see in terms of walkers, and we're looking at right now walkers, female versus male, 71 to 80 degrees, you're still seeing quite a bit of people out there. You get to greater than 90, we don't see very many people. And in the South, greater than 90 is more common than, you know, less than 40, although temperature has been changing quite a bit lately in the South. However, greater than 90, if in this past summer we had 10, 12 straight days, well, if you want to engage in physical activity outdoors, at least I do, you want facilities available perhaps that can accommodate that change in temperature. So those are things to think about, like I mentioned before, with water and benches and areas of shade. You see vigorous observations by temperature. You see females as the temperature is increasing, decreasing. Here we're still seeing those males continuingly to be physically active. However, you see 71 to 80, and then you get to 81 to 90, and then greater than 90, still there. But obviously it has dropped off considerably, which is understandable. But one thing we know about those individuals engaging in vigorous activity, you know, many of you probably in this room engage in vigorous activity. If you're going to go exercise, you're going to go exercise. Like tomorrow it's supposed to rain here in the morning. People are still going to exercise, those who want to be active. However, if you're on the fence, you know, I don't know if I want to be active today, the walker or someone who's sedentary, perhaps not necessarily a walker, but someone who's sedentary or inactive, the context in which you are active is going to impact your decision or not. And those are things we really need to be putting more emphasis on and understanding how the context is impacting park use as well as trail use. And that's why I think it's so great that Dr. McKenzie developed this instrument, because it's giving us direct observation. Who is using it? When they're using it? Time of day? Temperature? So on and so forth. So, if you build it, you know, will they come? Well, we don't know. Yes and no. Males use the rail trail segment more often than females and usually performed vigorous exercise. Females typically use the rail trail segment for walking. Spring and summer had the greatest number of users. Except summer of 07. Thank you, Steve. Warmer temperatures yielded more users. But you see here, nearly 32% of all trail users were observed when the temperature was between 71 and 80 degrees, and over 50% were observed when the temperatures were between 71 and 90 degrees. So what can we do? We need to consider, you know, policies, of course. Policy, I think, is something where we can have the greatest inroads in terms of promoting physical activity. But we need to increase use among females. Perhaps on this trail, and this is something we talked about with the city planner at when we met, we spoke to the Spartanburg community, is putting lighting at the parking lots. Not along the trail, because we don't necessarily want to increase activity along hours where physical activity wouldn't be welcome, such as, you know, necessarily 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, and things in regards to perhaps safety issues. But parking, if you feel like it's going to be dark by the time you return to your automobile, you might not decide to go to the trail if you had to drive to the trail, so maybe lighting at the parking facilities, and that's something that the city of Spartanburg is looking into. Partnership with indoor facilities. As well, we saw usership went down tremendously during the winter. Now, we know a lot of communities have walking programs in malls, but there's lack of awareness of many of those programs. Or partnering with other entities that offer indoor facilities. So letting people know there are facilities available that are indoors, perhaps when it's very cold or when it's very hot. And sustaining trail use, you know, throughout all times of the day. We found the majority of users were early morning and then late afternoon. Well, obviously outside before work or after work. But we didn't see, and as Steve's presentation mentioned, children. And it's important that we engage, have activities for more children on the trail. And in Spartanburg on the rail trail, they're talking about building some playgrounds and some parks along the trail, which helps promote more activity among children as well. So that was really the overall of what we've seen from contextual elements impacting trail use. I'm happy to answer any questions you have, particularly those if related to protocol on how you do this. It is something that you need commitment by individuals, in my case, college students, because you have to be out there every day for 7 consecutive days, 4 times a day. You can't say, I'm going to do it Monday, I don't want to do it Wednesday. And so that is sometimes difficult, especially depending the length of the trail. We're starting this very soon in Greenville, which is the twin city, if you will, for South Carolina, Greenville-Spartanburg. But it's an 11-mile rail trail segment. So you can imagine one student probably can't do that. I'm not going to ask anybody to do 80 miles a day, nor would it would change our timing as well. But thank you very much. Very good question. What we try to do is not observe during holidays. And the reason for that is we try to take a typical week. Maybe I'm not understanding your question. We try to take a typical week, so we don't want aberrations to say, wow, look at the usership during this time during the day, 3 o'clock. Wow, we have so many more users. Well, maybe it was during the Thanksgiving break, and that's not really something. I think that's important to note. Hey, more people are out here during a holiday. But for our purposes, we're trying to look at what is a normal week during the fall, a normal week during the spring, summer, and winter. Now, normal is relative, obviously, because it temperature changes the way we have. Who would have thought this past summer we would have had 10 straight days over 100 degrees? But we did, and we did our best, and I made sure everyone had a lot of water, and they signed a PARQ form and a release form. So I didn't lose my job. Well, absolutely, and that's something that the one thing that you can do with SoPark too is and it's more privy and more apropos to parks. But yes, we mark down who they're with as well. But you also can look at spectators, and a great thing about park use versus trail use is you can measure, okay, who's using this activity area and how many people are watching it. On the trail, we would also mark if they were by themselves or they were with somebody. And women tended to be more active with a partner versus a male. And some of that relates back to, and we have a lot of the survey data we haven't even presented, to perceptions of safety. And that's something that I think is great why the city planner in Spartanburg is really looking to putting lights along the parking lots to overcome any perceptions related to safety. But yes, we do look at that. Well, yeah, in terms of being walking versus vigorous activity, well, it very well might. But we also know from surveillance data that males engage in more vigorous activity than females to begin with. So it's not necessarily that they're active with somebody. Is it the chicken or the egg sort of thing? Did they go be active because they had somebody with them, or is it they choose to be engaged in more walking activity versus vigorous?
I think I might be out of my time.
Yeah, thanks, Julian. We're going to move to Jim.